Florida. Good morning. Come on now, wake up. Good morning. Do better than that. My goodness gracious. It's sticky outside, tacky outside. Preaching at the nursing home this morning. We sort of keep it hog killing weather in here. And I'm lying, I like that. Now, Calvin doesn't like that, but the nursing home does not keep it hog killing weather. You walk in that dining hall, and your breath is taken away by the heat. And they keep it warm in there most of the time, to where by the time I get done preaching, I done broke a good sweat. If you like turning your Bibles to John chapter 6, we're going to look at a miracle of our Lord this morning that is a precious miracle. You know, you read through the Gospels and you'll almost get miracle hardened. Did you know that? You're getting miracle hardened. All right, we're going again. He does another miracle. And that's a sad way to be, but we sort of get like that. We yawn and we walk and we read about it and say, ho-hum. Oh, well, there's a series of miracles that are taking place right here. John chapter 5, the whole story in John chapter 5 revolves around one man that had been at the pool of Bethesda for 38 years waiting for the water to be stirred, and the Lord comes and heals that man, and then a big dialogue takes place after that. Then we enter into John chapter 6, and the Lord of glory feeds 5,000 men, plus women and children. We don't know how many were there, but probably a sizable amount of women and children with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. And when they get done, in the economy of all things, the Lord says, don't waste nothing, guys. Take it all up. They gather up 12 basketfuls of bread. It's quite notable to me. They're just like us here at Grace Baptist. We ate all the fish. All the chicken will get gone. All the meat will get gone. We ate all. They didn't get no fish left. They just had 12 basketfuls of bread. They ate and ate and ate and, until they were filled. And, you know, that's an amazing thing that our Lord brings to bear such amazing miracles. So we're going to pick up afterwards. The Lord has fed the 5,000. And we're going to pick up in John chapter 6, and we're going to go to the next miracle. To the next miracle, and it goes like this. In John chapter 6, beginning in verse 14, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, and now this is alluding back to the fact of the feeding of the 5,000, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. And when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed into a mountain himself alone. And when the evening was come, his disciples went down into the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. And when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea, drawing nigh unto the ship. And they were afraid. But he saith unto them, it is I, be not afraid. And when they willingly received him into the ship, immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. The Sea of Galilee is not a great big sea. It's not a great, it would be comparable to some lakes probably here in Tennessee. Over there it's mammoth because they don't have too many seas in the desert. They don't have too much water like that. But the Sea of Galilee is an abundantly beautiful sea. I've seen it. I've been there. I've been to Cana of Galilee and looked over into the Sea of Galilee. I've been to Capernaum, where it speaks of here. This is basically originating. The disciples were in the Sea of Galilee. Now, you can see across the Sea of Galilee. You can see the other side. It's 8 miles across the Sea of Galilee. It's 13 miles long, sort of north and south, but east and west from Tiberias, from Cana of Galilee, which is called the city of Tiberias now. It's you look across about 8 miles, and you can see the other side. Matter of fact, we drove around, got to the other side, looked back, and we could see Tiberias. It works that way, you know. If someone can see you, you sort of should know that they can see you if you can see them. It's not very far. Matter of fact, it's amazing to me the guys didn't walk. I guess they were fishermen, and they're just used to be in the ocean, used to be in the sea or a boat. And so they go down to the shore, and I'm sure they waited for the Lord for a reasonable time, but he delayed. And our Lord's delays are always good. He does not make mistakes when he delays. So they get into the boat, and it says here that they row out about 25 or 30 furlongs. Well, furlongs are things we don't normally talk about. Anybody know what a furlong is? Come on, help me out, some of you guys. What's a furlong? How long is a furlong? It's for a long ways, isn't it? Come on, Lance, what now?
607 feet.
Oh, that's cheating now. You asked Siri right there, didn't you? 607 feet. There's actually 8 furlongs in a mile. They speak of this language in horse racing. I don't know why they call it so many furlongs in a horse race. It looks like you could just say feet, yards, and speak the language of the people, but it comes up in horse races. They actually measure the tracks by furlongs. We don't do that with much anything else around here, but back then, and that furlong was a distance. And it takes, there's 8 furlongs in a mile. So if you go 25 or 30 furlongs, how far do you go? 3 and some miles, 3, maybe 4 miles is what it's saying here. 3 approaching 4 miles. So they were about halfway from Cana of Galilee to Capernaum. And they could probably see it. You know, it had all of the lights on and everything, and all of the street lights were on, and you can imagine all this at that time. They could see it's just right there. No, they couldn't. It says in the passage that it was dark. And I imagine if you didn't have any light coming from the sky in the form of stars from the heavens or the moon, and it was covered up by the clouds, and it was dark. These guys were in the dark. These guys were in the dark. Now, it says that they see the Lord and they're afraid. In this same rendering back here in another gospel, when they're already afraid because of the reason of the great wind. Maybe 2 or 3 years ago, y'all might have seen this on the news. One of the big cruise ships down in the Caribbean, they go out for a cruise. And all of a sudden, a hurricane shows up that they weren't intending, or something happened. And they got into 30 and 40-foot waves out there, and they said it was pitching that boat just like it was a little boat on the Sea of Galilee, pitching that boat. They said practically every person on that ship got sick. And I'd hate to clean up that ship after 1,500 people. And I can remember oh so distinctly on the news broadcast, this man was at the top of the gangway, and he ran off that ship, fell down on his face on the ground, and kissed the ground, and then made a statement to the news. He was just being dramatic, more than likely. But he said, I'm not going back out there on that ocean no more. It was too scary. It's a scary thing. I'm sure it was a scary thing for moms and dads back in the day to send a child or a young man out on the water for danger, because the sea has claimed many a person's life. And most of these guys were seasoned fishermen, if not all of them, in that boat, and yet this great wind caused great fear. And so I want you to know that we here at Grace Baptist Church believe that the Lord God of heaven is sovereign. The Lord God of heaven is sovereign. So we know that he controls the wind. Okay? Y'all got that? So this great wind that came to pass in the lives of those men was from the Lord. Okay? He controls all things. He controls everything. Now, that means, yes, he controls the weather. They wrote a book after the great Katrina hurricane, which we wouldn't even know about today if a dam hadn't broke or a levee hadn't broken in New Orleans. Katrina, by and large, just came and went. But a levee broke, and that levee flooded for about 10,000 homes and destroyed a whole lot down there, New Orleans. But where was I going, Carol? Where was I going? I'm losing my mind. My illustration's falling apart right now. I'm muttering in the midst. After Katrina, everyone was saying, where was God? All of the critics were saying, where was God at the time of Katrina? And so this very dear Reformed Baptist guy writes a book and said, where was God in the midst of Katrina? And he said he was right there. I'm sure when the children of Israel said to themselves and to all that were there, when they looked out across the walls of Jerusalem and there was the Babylonian army, they would have said, well, where is God right now? And Jeremiah answered that, if you ever read him. Jeremiah said, he's out there in the midst of that army right there, coming to get you, God. He's out there in the midst of that army coming to get you. So the Lord controls these things. Sometimes he does it for judgment. But in this particular case, he did it for a lesson. And I want you to know, most often the very difficult things that happen in your life and my life, the struggle that you have as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, they are lessons that our Lord is teaching us. Some of them are oh so hard. Some of them are so very difficult. I somewhat spoke the same message at the nursing home just now, and you know, old age is a struggle. Old age is a very difficult thing to encounter. I'm encountering it right now. I'm encountering it. I still think of myself as the biggest kid on the block, sort of like. But I'm encountering old age where things don't work, and you just try to sort of make it through. I was down at my dad's the other night, and he's got this recliner that I sleep in, and it's a great big fluffy recliner. It's very nice. It's very comfortable. I sleep in it pretty well, even though I don't necessarily like sleeping in a chair when I'm down there at his house. But the other night, we were still up and still talking, and I needed to slip up, and so I slipped up, and I bolted out of the chair, and I stumbled like this right here. And he looked at me and said, well, you're older than I am. I can do better than that. I'm going to have to give you a cane. And that's about right. I mean, there's no question that it sneaks up on you. Moses, don't you laugh too much, because in just a few days, you'll be older than me. Just a few days. But you know, our Lord brings these to pass. He brings these to pass for us to strengthen our faith, to make us stronger. Things that we would not want, things that we would not begin to think about. Those guys didn't want to be caught up in a bad storm. But the Lord sent the storm, and he did it for their good. Did it for their good. What if they had gone down? What if they had gone down? As believers in the Lord, then they would have gone up. You know, so I mean, we got to sort of know that. What that reminds me of Wesley. Wesley was on a ship. John Wesley was on a ship. This was before he came to the Lord. Matter of fact, this instance brought him to the Lord. He was on the ship coming from America, either going from America to England or from England to America, and they encountered a storm. It was a great storm, and everybody was holding on to everything to try to stay on the ship. And there was Wesley, and Wesley confessed in his testimony that he was scared to death. He was scared to death, and there were two guys over there just giggling about it, singing hallelujah, hallelujah on the boat. And they were Moravians. They were men of the Moravian church, and they were just singing hallelujah. And he went over and challenged them by saying, guys, have y'all lost it? And he looked, and they looked at him and said, listen, if this ship goes down, we go up. If this ship goes down, we go up. So many times we need to have the perspective in the midst of our struggles that if this ship goes down, we go up. Now, I've just abandoned my 8 pages of notes right here, and I don't even know how to get back on it right now. I don't even know how to get back on it. It's awful. Y'all just have to put up with me. But our Lord does these miracles. He went out and walked on water. I have never walked on water. I have never seen anyone walk on water. I will confess for all of y'all, y'all have never walked on water, and y'all have never seen anyone walk on water. But our Lord did something miraculous. He walked on water. Now, this is more than likely the exact same instance in the other gospel where the Lord came walking on the water, and Peter, he said to Peter, Peter said, Lord, if it's you, can I come out? And he said, well, come on. And he walked out, and Peter walked on the water. So there's only been two guys that we know that walked on water. But Peter's voyage didn't last very long. He got caught up in the winds and the waves, and he started going down, and the Lord grabbed him by the hand and picked him up and brought him to the boat. I believe he did it with great grace and great gentleness. Our Lord is just that way. He's very gentle. But our Lord suspended the rules. He suspended the law of gravity. He's the maker of the law, so the maker of the law can break the law. Did you know that? If you make a law around your house, Matthew, and all of a sudden the instance arises where you need to break that law, it's all right for you to break that law because you're the maker of the law. Now, you might have to reconcile that to all the other law keepers around, but the Lord Jesus didn't have to do that. He didn't have to reconcile it. He just suspended the law of gravity, and he walked out there on that water. And it's only the Lord that can do that. Only the Lord can do that. May we never get complacent or yawn about the miracles of our God because they're so lofty and so great. We would have been overwhelmed to have witnessed. If we would have been in that boat, we would have been overwhelmed. Said, oh, Lord, what? How can it be? Who is this man? And the old little Christmas song says it's the Lord, the King of glory. It's the Lord, the King of glory. And say, our Lord walked on the water. He walked on the water to come and to teach those boys a lesson, to strengthen their faith, to help them. So listen, when you run into struggles and difficulties in life, and if you hadn't had any in a while, just wait around. They're coming your way, okay? Just hang tough for a few days. Troubles are on the way. Where it says in Job, man is a few days and full of troubles. I'd almost like for someone to look that up. Was that one of those guys that said that? Or was that Job that said that? You know, and you read the book of Job, and you're not necessarily supposed to take all of it as the gospel. You know why? Because there are three, or actually four guys, when you add Elihu in there, that bring all these arguments against, and they go for chapters and chapters and chapters with arguments, and they're all erroneous arguments. So if you read there and say, well, that's the gospel, and it was one of those four guys, it might not be the gospel. It might not be the gospel. So anyway, but it's confessed there that man is a few days and full of troubles. And sometimes our lives seem that way. But if you're here today and you know the Lord Jesus Christ, those troubles are sanctifying, glorious gifts sent from the God above into your life. They may be sickness in your life. It may be sickness in another one's life. It's an amazing thing. I'm a wax political right now. I'm reading a book right now that was given to me by Mr. Bill Lee. Bill Lee is running to be governor of the state of Tennessee. And I've cried through that book. I've cried through that book. There was a window of two or three years where just time, Job was lived out. And then while he was yet waiting, another one. His wife dies falling off a horse. Don't know all the details. She was with her four-year-old daughter who was riding in her lap, and the daughter also fell off the horse, but children tend to bounce. And she made it fine, but the mother died from the injuries, and the little four-year-old came screaming off the hill, or screaming out the pasture, whatever it might have been, and all of a sudden, Bill, who had just showed up, ran to his wife and held his wife in his arms. A life flight arrived, the ambulance arrived, and they flew her and flew to the hospital, and the doctors came out and said, no, she's alive, but she's going to die. It took her 5 or 6 days to die, which was the longest 5 or 6 days in the world. And then Bill tries to regroup. He has four children, four small children. The oldest one's 14, the youngest one's 4. And they regroup. They regroup, and 2 years passes, and everything seems to be fine. And then he gets a call from his mother, who's keeping the children. And the oldest daughter, who is now 16, has stuck a gun to her head and pulled the trigger. It's hard for me to contain my spirit right now because of what happened, what he said next in his book. He said the same guy met him down the hallway and said, "She's alive, but she will live." And he said it was just like the blessed words in the world. And he carried his daughter back several weeks later from the hospital stay and carried her right into the room, right to the spot where she pulled the trigger. And he told her, said, "This is going to be real hard, but it's important for you to know something." And in the midst of all his 2 years of great trauma in his life, the Lord wrought in his life tremendously, according to the testimony of the book. And I truly believe the testimony. The testimony was precious, precious. He carried her in there and washed her feet in the presence of his other children and said, "I will never leave you. I probably asked too much of you in the last 2 years to sort of be mama to your younger siblings." She was 5 years older to twin boys who were now like 10 or 12, 11, and then the little four-year-old would be now 6 when she did this. It's such a hard thing. Troubles can take all kinds of looks, though. He took like a 2 or 3 year sabbatical from his business. He's Lee Company. He's in the heating and air conditioning business, big time way. I mean, he puts the air conditioners up that are as big as this room. That cool Nissan Stadium and heat all the areas down there. He had 3 offices, and one in Tennessee, one in Florida, and one in Texas. And he finally gets back to the business after 2 years or 3 years of just very difficult struggle in the family. And he gets back, and this is 2006 or thereabouts, and they're underwater. He gets with his chief financial officer, and they start crunching everything, and he's facing bankruptcy. He calls in all of his suppliers on hundreds and hundreds of jobs and said, "We can't pay you. We can't pay you." He had to go to his 2 of his offices, and those 2 offices employed 400 people. He had to give them all pink slips. And that would have been the hardest thing in the world for me. And he said, and I knew them all. He said, some of them had worked for us for 20 years. He said, this was my grandfather's company. This was my father's company. And now I'm losing it. And now I'm losing it. So he did dramatic cost-cutting efforts, met with his suppliers, and his suppliers allowed him to still receive supplies for 6 more months without any compensation. He said, I will turn this around. And he was of such a trustworthy sort of guy that he turned it around. I'm telling you all this to just say this. Troubles can come in any number of ways in your life. But if you know the Lord, those troubles are gloriously wonderful, sanctifying troubles in your life. Don't let the troubles overwhelm you. 3 weeks ago, I somewhat did a parallel where we talked about the cause and the cure of spiritual depression, and we sort of used D. Martin Lloyd-Jones' book, titled that same thing, Cause and the Cures of Spiritual Depression. Troubles are a very difficult thing in our lives. We find them to be true. Job was right. We're a few days and we're full of troubles. We struggle with these things. We struggle with these things. But from that, we need to know some things. We need to know that God is in the midst of the storm. He is the one who brings the trouble. And if we just take that as a perspective, it immediately almost heals us. I was very thankful for a man, a good friend. He came up to encourage me right before the election in August. He came up to encourage me. He said, "I'm supporting you 100%. But he looked at me straight in the eye and he said, "Carol, from my gettings around the territory and everything, you need to be prepared to lose." Now, nobody likes to lose. I don't like to lose a game of checkers, much less an election. I don't like to lose. And I sort of laughed and said, no good deed goes unpunished, so I fought for the community for 4 years, and then they vote me out. But he was right. He was right. But he gave me time in my heart to prepare, which was good for me. It was good for me to know. And the thing that comforted God, listen to this, God elected me out of office. He brought to pass that. He elected me out. And that's all right. If God does it, it's a good thing. If God does it, it's for my life's blessing. And anything that comes your way as a believer in the Lord is for your good. All things, it says in Romans 8:28, all things that come your way are for your good. For your good, because that's just the way a loving God operates in the midst of our world as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me share with you all a shout hallelujah right now. All a shout hallelujah. I mean, some of us don't know it, but just in the next few days, we're going to be facing some very difficult troubles. You don't know it. You don't know it, Tom. Another trouble's coming your way. Justin, I hadn't told you about it, but in just a few weeks, you're going to have some troubles. Keith, got bad news for you, son. Bad news. But coupled with the bad news of the trouble is the good news of Jesus walking on the water and bringing a miracle of deliverance to you and I in the midst of all of our troubles, because His miracles and His grace is greater than all of the things that we will encounter in our lives all the days of our lives. And that's the way we're to live our lives. Now I look at the election is distant past. It's just way back yonder. I still have, excuse the expression, older ladies walk up to me and put their arms around me. "How are you doing, Carol? Are you making it?" Like I'm going to kill myself or something. "How are you doing?" I had one do it just yesterday. "How are you doing, Carol?" Last night, he walked up to me. I went to the Goose Gala last night. I go to the Goose Gala, which is where the hoity-toity group shows up. So I'm one of the hoity-toity group for a day a year, and so I go to that to support what they support, because I'm on the side of what they try to do. And so they choose this as a fundraiser. I wouldn't necessarily have chosen as a fundraiser, but it wasn't up to me, so I don't really throw them under the bus because of the fundraiser. But I had two or three in that same vein come up to me. One lady, and just to be honest, I don't even know who the lady was. I looked at her and I said, "I'm not even sure I know." And she said, "Oh, I'm so sorry about that." Like, "Are you all right? Are you all right? Are you all right?" Listen, in Christ, we're all right. In Christ, we're all right. The circumstances of our life fall off. There is nothing, because in Christ we're all right. We're kept by the gracious hand of God in every circumstance. And if we just but have eyes to see it, we would see the miracle of Him walking on the water all the time. We'd see it. Now granted, if you reach over, and I think it's in Luke, you reach over in Luke and you see this same miracle that takes place. It says that they were afraid because of the storm. I'm sure they were bailing water. They were rowing just as hard as they could. They could see Capernaum. I mean, they could see it when they left. But now they were only halfway there. They'd gone that 25 to 30 furlongs, and they were just halfway there. And they run into the storm, and they was rowing like wild men. I know they were. And they were afraid because it was a great wind. And then the Lord comes walking on the water. And it says in the passage that we read right there, and when they saw Him, they were afraid. It says over in the Luke's rendering, when they saw Him, they were exceedingly afraid. Exceedingly afraid. They were not, They were terrified when they saw him walking on the water. You know, I'd like to think that maybe one time in our lives or your life, my life, that we might have that happen to us. The Lord's appearance will terrify us as he does, as he comes and lifts Peter out of the water, as he comes and lifts the children, his children, out of the sea and out of the turmoil. It says that they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship landed on the other side, and they came to their destination. It's just right over there. I don't even know why they got out of the boat. But anyway, it was for the Lord's. It was for the Lord to demonstrate his goodness to them. His goodness to them. And the word right here, our Lord, this wasn't a major discourse or anything like that. Our Lord just said unto these disciples, "It is I, be not afraid. It is I, be not afraid." That should anchor us because it anchored the disciples that night. It is I. It strengthened them in their faith. It is I. My doing, my coming, my bringing grace to you. It's me. It's me. If they didn't know it before then, they probably were greatly strengthened to know that this was the Lord of glory that they were contending with, this man that they had run upon. They didn't know before. They knew. They had other instances out on the ocean where they woke him up out of this boat, different circumstance. They were crossing the same little sea right there, the Sea of Galilee. Storm rises. "Don't you care, we're going to perish?" And he stands up and just says to the waters, "Hush up." And it said a great calm came on the water. A great calm. They were dealing with the Lord God of heaven right here. My brothers and sisters, may we glory in the fact that it was Jesus Christ our Lord who places us in our circumstances of life, comes and meets us in the midst of the circumstances of our life, and gives us grace in the midst to overcome those circumstances in our lives. And we come out on the other side more faithful, stronger in our faith than we were before. Let not the toils and the struggles and the difficulties of life cause you fear, because Jesus is there and will keep us in the midst. Keep us in the midst. I probably had a 30-minute lesson in my notes and I just sort of threw it all away. Don't let anyone tell you that the miracles of our God are not true. They are true. May we believe the word of the Lord. May they believe that word. Now, a big crowd then shows up, and that's not in this lesson, but a big crowd shows up the next day or so. And they look at Jesus, and they know he wasn't in that boat. And they say, "How'd you get over here? How'd you come here?" And he reproves them. But that's another lesson. Let's bow our heads and hearts and ask the Lord's blessing this morning. Father, I've been oh so quick and chatty. Lord, anchor us in the fact that even in the difficulties and struggles of life, when you send the storm, Lord, give grace in our lives to know that you're in the storm. You're the bringer of the storm. Lord, give us grace to know that, Lord, as your children, this storm is not given to hurt us. It's given to save us, to deliver us, to make us stronger in our faith. Lord, help us to bring that to bear in our lives. Help that to, how shall I say, put our souls at ease and our minds at peace. That we would not be so reactive when little bitty things go wrong. We magnify something into a trouble that's would be laughed at in many sectors. Lord, help us to be those who know that you send the storm, and Lord, you are the answer in the midst of the storm. That if we go down, In the storm, we go up to meet you. We rejoice in you today. We bless you for your love toward us. We thank you for every grace given now. We bless you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. 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 Be dismissed. Y'all have your little refreshment. Sing unto the Lord with all of our hearts and worship unto the Lord. May God bless you this morning. Thank you now.